Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am here with Bailey Seaton. Bailey is an anti-inflammatory focused holistic health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Divine Purpose. Divine Purpose is an integrative health coaching business that focuses on helping women both reduce inflammation and stress and heal their relationship with food through low-impact movement, anti-inflammatory focused recipes, exclusive podcasts and workbooks, and wellness blog posts. Welcome, Bailey. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to dive into some good stuff today. And for our listeners, I was on Bailey's podcast. It hasn't come out yet, but we were chatting last week. So Bailey is on and she's excited to talk about some good stuff, diving into some exciting news. We have some fun stuff that we're talking about today. So my first question I always like to ask my guests, because a lot of times people enter this space based on their own health and wellness journey. So what got you into what you're doing? How did you start your own wellness journey and got you to how you are helping so many women in your space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my story kind of goes back to my senior year of high school. So I played competitive basketball and I had an initial injury. This would have been like 2018 timeframe to give my age, I suppose, but I had like a pop happen in my lower back, and then I was kind of on bed rest for a couple weeks, but it healed up and then I was fine. And I really didn't notice any discomfort until I got into college. Then that next year, I joined the dance team in college and I just started having horrible low back pain. So my dad, then he's had 3 back surgeries actually. So we're like, this might be hereditary. But he took me to a clinic and I was 18 years old and I just remember going in. They're like, I think we need to an x-ray. Got the x-ray back, saw that I had 2 fractured vertebrae, my L4 and L5, and then a bulging disc.
Wow.
And so at 18, really, this doctor was like very antsy to cut into me. Honestly, he's like, I think we should look at surgery, just because when you think about pregnancy in the future, you know, you're going to want to make sure that there's like a firm foundation there. And if you know of anybody who's had a back surgery, I always say you never just have one in most cases. You know, even if they would have fused anything or put a rod in, it would have completely transformed how I could move my body for the rest of my life, right? And I was super active, again, dancing. Exercise has always been super important to me. So to kind of then, and I credit a lot of this to probably how I was eating, how I was taking care of my body. I always say I lived with chronic pain for about 2 years then. And we were trying everything. We went to a different pain and spine center. I got 2 steroid injections, felt no comfort or relief from those. I was on over-the-counter, like Tylenol, ibuprofen, all the things, would take like 4 of those a day. And then I finally got on a stronger prescription medication. Then they were like, yeah, you know, you've been taking this for a year. I think we should switch to something different just so your body, you know, your kidneys keep functioning properly. So I got on a different medication. Again, at this point I had no relief. This was about a full year of like trying everything, no relief. I remember crying myself to sleep most nights, waking up in so much pain. My college roommate, bless her, but I would just be crying. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, you truly can't do anything. Like I had a back brace that I was trying to sleep in. And it was so uncomfortable. And I always say, if you want a high or a college age girl to feel even more unattractive in a very awkward stage of life, like put her in a back brace, right? Like, you know, I only wore it when I was sleeping. And I only did it for a week because it was so uncomfortable. Oh. And then this was then 2020, I believe, spring. I went in and got blood work done and they're like, yeah, your kidneys aren't filtering properly. Think you need to go back in and try to get on a different medication. And I was like, at that point, I'm kind of over it. I'm like, I've gotten on two different medications, right? I've had no relief from this. I did steroid injections, no relief from them. Like, why am I continuing to try the same thing and it's not working? So that's that kind of spring, of course, COVID hit and I was able to move home. And I think a lot of what made a big difference was I changed how I was eating, right? Eating food that my mom was making, much higher quality than what I was getting in the cafeteria in college. And I just decided, like, I'm done with medications. We're going to try to exercise to strengthen my core, which is what I knew I needed to do, and just change how I'm eating. I kind of then from there went into one other extreme that next year and a half of like over exercising, under eating, because I finally found something that worked and I finally started feeling relief. So it was like, well, if a little of this works, like why wouldn't overdoing it work even more, right? So definitely not eating enough, but I was losing weight and I felt good, truthfully, physically for the first time in a while. So then that led me into my junior year, which that was the year I graduated college. And that was kind of then when I started getting more into holistic health because I saw both sides, right? I did the injections, did the medication, saw the specialists, found no relief. So then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try this on my own and see if I can help other women do the same thing. So then that was the year 2021. I'm horrible with my years. They don't really matter, but that was the year I got married. And so I got certified then in integrative health coaching, certified in personal training, and just dove into what I'm doing now. It's definitely changed over the years of as I've navigated, you know, what is inflammation? How can I help women reduce inflammation? And right now I'm learning it's such a broad term. I feel like within the last year, it's become a big topic of conversation. But before that, it wasn't talked about so much. So always kind of changing and adapting. But that's kind of what catapulted me into the holistic health space.
I love that. And I love that. I mean, I love that you're doing this at your age. I love that you have awareness. You know, unfortunately, it took a bad situation turned to worse, to horrible, to be like, all right, enough is enough. What am I going to do if this is happening now in my life and I'm not getting it under control by treating the root cause? Where am I going to be when I'm 25? Where am I going to be when I'm 30? What's going to happen when I am trying to carry a baby and I can't, my lower back is giving out and I'm on bed rest. And then that's a whole nother, you know, complication of health issues. So it's like the fact that you, I mean, it's amazing that you had such a turnaround in your own health and wellness. And not only do you know now and you can do this for yourself, but you're helping other people do it is just amazing because it takes so many of us, even myself, I'm 44 and I know probably I started to dabble about 10 years ago into the health and wellness space as a traditional pharmacist. And that shift was a really weird one when you learn something and even just, you know, just the way that I was raised the best in each generation by our parents doing what was quote unquote the correct thing to do. And now that we learn all of these things that are not always the healthiest things and what is a healthy food and what is healthy workouts, it's just really wild. And it's so cool that you knew that you were able to do that at such an early age when some of us, it's taken us a very long time to realize and help ourselves fix something, you know, after childbirth, after doing things, feeling like, no, I don't want to say it the wrong way, but gosh, if I could go back in time to before I have my son, I could imagine, you know, the difference in, you know, just even my pregnancy and my weight and just my energy levels and all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where there's almost kind of that, not frustration, but when I talk to girls my age that need to make changes because there's things happening that aren't quote normal, you know, there's a lot of resistance to that, which I understand. Cause yeah, like you said, it's rare. I feel like at that point I was 22 when I finally got certified. It's like, that's pretty young to recognize there's this whole other world that we've been neglecting when we've only ever gone the medical route. So now it's interesting because a lot of my clients are women in their 40s to 60s where I'm like, no, like the people that need this really are like, I mean, everybody needs it. But what I see as in relation to my own journey, I'm like, in your 20s to 30s to 40s, that's like a super crucial time for you to also be focusing on your health. And if there's things that aren't normal, like actually recognizing that and doing something about it, rather than just ignoring it until you get to a point where you can't ignore it any longer.
Well, right. And it's just the fact of being proactive with something, right? It's the fact of learning early on in life, hey, this is what I need to do to keep my body healthy, not wait until the bad labs come back, not wait until you're told you need surgery or you know, you just feel like complete crap. And it's like, you feel almost helpless because Western medicine's not doing it when you're feeling things like chronic fatigue and brain fog, which we know all comes from inflammation, and we know all the sources too. So, you know, it's so important to be proactive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So for our listeners, Bailey's had some exciting news lately. Bailey found out recently that she is pregnant with her first baby. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we are so excited. I'm at, what is it, 14 weeks now. So still pretty fresh, but I'm entering into the stage where things aren't so difficult. Waking up in the morning, have a little bit more energy, and yeah, feeling much better.
I love that. But I love this topic, and I love how it's tying into what you have going on in your own life and how you kind of set the stage for yourself, you know? And I think it's important that, you know, girls that are your age, younger than you, as they're entering, even any girl, woman of childbearing age, the steps that they should be doing to help prepare their body and to stay healthy so that they don't have issues getting pregnant, that they don't have issues, you know, carrying the baby, that they don't have issues, you know, health issues during their pregnancy. So right. In general, is this an area of people that you are, when you're working with clients, do you have clients in this age? Do you have perimenopausal women? Do you have people across the board? Like, who is your ideal client?
Yeah, I would honestly say I kind of, with adding in blood work, I now have clients across the board. Mostly though, like I said, it was that 40 to 65, 70 age range. I run a program, Nourish to Flourish, where we talk about a lot about nutrition. And I always say creating an anti-inflammatory lifestyle, because it doesn't just relate to food, but how you're managing stress and all the things. But I definitely see myself now segueing more into working with, you know, pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, post-pregnancy, just because as I'm learning more, I'm realizing how much it's not really talked about. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to have a baby when I want to have a baby. And a lot of the time we don't take into account, like, it could be years that you need to prepare your body if you've drank a lot, if you haven't had a great diet, if you've been a smoker. Like, those are all factors that are going to play into fertility. And then while you're pregnant, I have friends close to me and they're like, did you know that eating protein in the morning is supposed to help with morning sickness? And I'm like, no, I had no idea, just being sarcastic. But it's funny because, again, as we enter pregnancy, it's like, how can we navigate eating when we don't feel great? And then after we deliver, how are we then supporting our bodies so that our baby's healthy and that we're healing properly? So it's definitely something my husband could attest. I've become very passionate about just as I've gotten into it. And I think a big piece of that is because, I mean, at 18 being told like, you probably should have back surgery so that when you carry a baby, you're not super uncomfortable and that your back is strong enough to support that. I just think the fact that I've been able to avoid surgery thus far and now be pregnant and feel strong in my pregnancy, I mean, of course, there's like the hip pain that's coming, but with that, also knowing how then to navigate that or how to exercise to support that. So yeah, it's definitely, I always think, yeah, when somebody gets pregnant, you think it's been like, oh, yep, it just happened. But for me, I mean, I have stories of 3+ years ago that I could dive into of my body was at a point not ready for this, you know, not getting my period for 6 months to sign. Overexercising, you're under eating, right? That's a sign of your body being and feeling safe, I always think, right? Like when you get your period, your body feels safe or is showing you that, because although we might dread that time of the month, it's very important for how, yeah, our body is feeling. And so, yeah, my body went through seasons where I was not ready to get pregnant. So I think now to be at a point where, yeah, like it happened, but it's also because it was a 2-year process of preparing myself for this moment.
I think that's amazing. So take us through a daily day of nutrition. Take us through, what are you eating? What were you eating pre-pregnancy while you were just trying to maintain low inflammation by keeping yourself just energetic and healthy, decreasing inflammation, all of it, starting before your pregnancy? And did you make any shifts as you, you know, when you learned that you were pregnant?
Yeah. So before pregnancy, I'm very big on protein and eating a balanced plate. So I talk about the core four. You got your starchy carb, your fiber in the form of a fruit or vegetable, your protein, and then your healthy fat. So that is what I try to get into every meal, is those four. That's kind of that foundation. So for sure, right away in the morning, I would try to get about 20 to 25 grams of protein in. Most often, this is like 3 eggs, some sausage, I'll do some fruit on the side, half a slice of sourdough with avocado on top. I keep it very similar most days. After that, I would do a raw milk latte with maple syrup, because maple syrup is a natural sweetener. So that's one that I would add versus like a sugary, naturally or artificially flavored syrup, right? So that's the switch I made. And I do raw milk, which I know there's various opinions on that, but I love it. And then for lunch, I'm doing something lighter, like a salad, of course, like making sure there's more protein. I call it more of like a nourish bowl, because it's not a leafy salad that we think of like being stale at a restaurant. It's like your spinach, your kale, all the veggies, all the protein, chicken most likely, and then having some crackers on the side. And then afternoon, I do lead exercise classes in the evening a few times a week. And so I will always do then probably about, again, 20 grams of protein, like a chomp stick, maybe some nuts, fruit always, or I'll do like a Greek yogurt bowl. And then supper tends to be our more hearty meal of the day, something very warm. So I've been doing a lot of soups recently. But yeah, I always think like, when you can structure a plate around your protein, that's what has made it so much easier for me to make sure I'm getting enough of that. And then I fill in the gaps with, like I said, those other three, which I just really believe in those four, the starchy carb, because we need energy. I did a low carb diet for about a year and my hair was thin, my nails were thin, my body didn't have enough energy. And so I don't overeat on those carbs, right? But it's having enough so that your body's getting the energy. Fruits and vegetables, I always say fiber is great for keeping your system flowing and going, getting things out. Also great, full of nutrients and vitamins. And then when you get the healthy fats, supporting your brain. As somebody who works on the computer frequently, less, like more than I would probably like to, just because that's how I meet with clients. It's like, okay, yeah, I need brain support. So I know healthy fats are the best way to do that for me. And then when it comes to protein, right, you want to stay full. You want to build muscle. You want to have, just a strong frame. And for me, weightlifting has been so big for strengthening my core especially, but really my whole body, just to protect my back throughout the years. That has been so important. So again, it's like every meal about that 20 to 30 grams. And so that was really, before I got pregnant, how it's been. And I would say the only thing that's really changed to that is I don't crave coffee anymore. So that's kind of been out the window. So we're finding some swaps, because I'm having a little aversion to coffee. But I'm actually adding in a second breakfast. So I'll do that similar breakfast in the morning, and then I'll do like a protein shake, like a homemade protein shake around 10 most often, just to make sure I'm eating enough, getting, again, enough protein, because that has been crucial to me not feeling nauseous, is eating enough. This last weekend, I was with a lot of women and they were telling me about their pregnancies and how nauseous they always were and how they would eat all the time and gain weight because they were always eating. And to me, you know, yes, you have to eat what you're craving, but at the same time, also understanding what is truly going to make you feel better, which I always think those fats and proteins are pretty foundational in just making you feel less nauseous, less sick, full longer. So that's kind of where, if I'm hungry, I'm like grabbing for cottage cheese, topping it with some sort of ground hamburger, which sounds really probably disgusting, but to me, that's just my biggest craving is cottage cheese. It's a little ridiculous, but something high in fat, high in protein. And I know that's going to just keep me feeling good rather than reaching for the chips or the crackers. Again, I come back to that foundation of fats and protein.
No, that's so important. And that's so true. You know, if you're keeping your belly full of the right foods that are keeping you satiated longer, plus just in general, keeping your body healthy so that your gut's absorbing things properly and you're getting the right nutrients, because let's face it now, you're, you know, all the nutrients, you know, you hear eating for two, it's not even eating for two, you're nurturing two, and you're, you know, the baby is taking all of your nutrients. So it's like, all right, you've got to double up on that, and you've got to do it in a healthy way because you want to maintain a healthy weight and all of the things. Especially inflammation. Inflammation is key. So especially when you are a chronic pain person and you want to make sure you're keeping that in line. So, so that's awesome. So how have your workouts shifted since you became pregnant?
Yes, really. I was only ever doing low impact strength training. I did a lot of HIIT workouts in college. And as I got out of college and I realized like my body maybe physically looks how I want it to look, but it's not really strengthening what I need it to. And for me, it was doing a lot more harm than good, just with increasing cortisol and all the things that come with HIIT. Although it's great for some people during certain times of the month, for women, it can be great. For me, low impact strength training. So I actually started utilizing, have you heard of Form by Sammy Clark?
Yes, I don't know much about it, but I've heard of it. Tell me more.
Yes, so I love Form, but she has Pilates and strength workouts, which is what I tend to gravitate towards. But she also has a like prenatal, postnatal exercise program now. And so I've been going through that. It starts at week 5 of your pregnancy and takes you all the way through, oh, I don't even know how many weeks. But it's really intended to help you do exercises that are stabilizing your core, the 360 breathing, the pelvic floor exercises, just strengthening like one side of your body. So I used to be very like, hold the weights in front of you. Now I think, okay, if I'm going to be picking up a carrier or grabbing, you know, something like a diaper bag, like one side of my body is going to be utilizing that side of my core. So I need to be doing more of like the side to side movements rather than just what I had traditionally been doing. So really I've been following that program. So it's not changed much in the sense of the intensity, but it's changed a lot in just thinking more about like what muscles will be utilized when I have this baby and I have heavy things that I need to carry, or I have to carry this baby around in front. Like, how can I make sure that my body's strong for that phase? But I think pelvic floor is something that gets neglected a lot, or if you exercise a lot, sometimes our pelvic floor is too tight. For me, I'm kind of doing a little bit of both, but I know when I was having a lot of my back issues, that was something they never really stressed. So I found that on my own of like, okay, my low back is very close to this region of 23 muscles, I believe, are within your pelvic floor. Maybe that should be a focus. And I think that made a huge difference for me in just my hip rotation. You know, sometimes I think as women, our booties like to stick out, making sure that tailbone's always tucked under. So having that foundation for the last couple of years has been big. Just now I know as I enter this next phase and exercise and move my body, that at least is strong. And so it's just, yeah, stabilizing my core so that I don't do anything silly when I'm having to lug around a baby or a diaper bag or things that are heavier. Just so I feel strong in that phase as well.
I love that. I love that you are talking about the pelvic floor wall because the pelvic wall floor. I love that you're talking about it because it's not, people don't talk about it. And, you know, it's a thing where you hear women, oh, I can't sneeze or laugh without peeing my pants. And it's like, that's become normal. That's become like, that's supposed to happen after you have a baby. Like, just like, oh, hot flashes are normal when you're perimenopausal, but it's not normal. Like, there's exercises to do. There's ways to prepare before. There's ways to heal after. And I think that this is a topic in women's health that needs to be spoken of more because it's real and it's a problem. And this is why as adults, why when women age, it's like then there's incontinence issues like later in life, whether it might be, oh, it's silly, haha, I sneezed and peed. Like, but then, you know, it's all fun and games until you're 75 and wearing diapers. You know? So I think it's something that's very important and it should be spoken about more and people should learn that the exercises aren't hard and how they can incorporate them starting, you know, when you're cleared by your doctor, okay, everything's okay after birth to get started on doing that. It's so, so important. So I love that you mentioned that. And I, you know, encourage anybody listening, if whatever stage you're at in life, whether you've had a baby 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or a decade ago, you know, there's always ways to work on it to heal and reverse that.
Oh yeah. I lead a functional movement class and I would say there's ages like 30, but most are probably like 45 to 75. My grandma actually goes and she's almost 85. It's incredible, but it's so interesting when I'm watching them and I say, tuck your tailbone under. And now their body's like, okay, yeah, we've cued them. Like when we're doing even bicep curls, when we're doing anything upper body, tuck that tailbone under. Like, and you just can see a change in their hip rotation. And it's like, yeah, like we're taking that pressure off your low back. We're protecting your low back and engaging that front part kind of your core, which it's all connected, right? Pelvic floor, core, all kind of the same thing there. But it's just fascinating to see like when you cue that, how women can eventually get their bodies to just do it naturally. But I always love to see their hip rotation. I'm like, you guys are getting this. Like we're working on the right muscles because all together I'm like, tuck your tailbone in all at the same time, tuck it under. And it's just fun to see how much stronger. Yeah. Like even if you're later in life, like I said, my grandma goes, she's 84. A lot though of the 70 to 75 range of women, like it's not too late to still focus on that part of your body. Right. And I say, we never want to talk about leaking or like having lack of bladder control. Like it's not something we love to talk about, but I always say like, it's important. And that's why we're doing this. I know it's uncomfy maybe to talk about, but it's so valuable.
You are an amazing human. You are so well-rounded. You're hitting on everything with your clients and I love it. It's awesome. So shifting to that, you are a fellow IIN graduate like myself. And I know one of the main concepts that we talk about in IIN is your nutrition on and off the plate, right? So while we just talked about nutrition and here's a healthy way to eat, it's not just about the food that you're putting in your body that causes inflammation. There's other aspects of nourishment in your life and that all tie back to inflammation, stress relief, all of that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I would say that is something that I have probably struggled with the most is stress management. I'm very much like if I can do something, I'm going to go all in and then I'm going to just suffer the repercussions later, right? Like even looking at my to-do list today, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have so much to do because I was gone this weekend and I did not work enough yesterday. And my husband's like, remember, pick three things you want to do today and like dive into them. And I'm like, you're right. Like we don't have to do 600 things a day just to be quote productive, which I would say is probably the most difficult piece for me is just productivity equaling worth. Kind of cutting that and remembering, no, your productivity doesn't equal your worth, right? And so I think that's what I notice a lot with clients that come to me with physical inflammation, right? Chronic inflammation is they're struggling with a lot of emotional stress. There's a lot of emotional things going on that we have to tap into, which is gets really hard to kind of differentiate. Like I'm a coach, I'm not a therapist or a counselor, but there are some practices that I add in just because I think when we think about nourishing our vessel or our body, we have to focus on our mind, body, and spirit. So when all three of those are in perfect alignment, I think we probably feel the best physically, right? Or we feel the best, our wellness journey just feels like it's at its best phase, right? When we have all three aligned. So with every program that I run, we really start with the mindset. We start with stress management. A big piece of that is relationship with food. Right? What's the generational impact that food has had on your life? What is, something that you repeat to yourself in the mirror all the time when you walk past it? It's like all of those negative or limiting beliefs, they kind of boil to the surface when we just have that conversation kind of in forward thinking, like around food, but it always ties back to something else, like a relationship with a mother, a relationship with a spouse. And when we don't focus on what's happening in our minds first, I always say we can't move to that next phase, right? It's pointless to move into how we're going to exercise or eat when your mind is not in the place that it needs to be to do those without feeling overwhelmed or stressed. And so I think I'm always trying to navigate what works best for me and for clients. I've noticed even just having a space for people to talk openly about what they're going through. And that's, I think, the benefit of what we do as health coaches is we do get to be that person that people begin to trust to open up to about things. That in itself, I used to kind of undervalue just the one-on-one time that I had with clients and was like, I need to give them more. I need to give them more information, more mindset things they can do. Until I realized that just having a conversation and holding a space for what they're going through, it really does a lot more than we think it does. But if you're thinking like action plan wise or things that you could be doing, I think square breathing is a big one. Or also that 360 breathing. So really like letting that belly fully expand, exhale, tightening everything up. That's working on the physical body, also the mind. But yeah, we probably take 4 weeks just focusing on mindset. And it's with those, you know, different tactics, but a lot of personal reflection and just openly sharing it with someone else, which is typically within our one-on-one calls, that we're able to dive into that piece before we even talk about food and exercise.
That's awesome. How long does your program usually run with your clients?
What was that? Sorry, can you repeat that?
How long does your program usually run with clients?
Yes. So my program usually runs for about 6 months. Sometimes after that, we'll do continued support, but I run, 6 month program. I found that it allows us to give enough time to what's happening mindset wise. And then we can dive into food and then we're just building consistency, right? It's like, it'd be easy to throw them to the wolves at 3 months, but I'm like, I just think you need extra time to be held accountable for the changes that you've made. And so, it's a 6 month process.
I love that. I think that's a great time frame because that's where like the results start happening. That's where the healing starts happening. And like the big shifts that are like, wow, like when you look back at the end of a 6 month journey, you can say, sometimes you don't even recognize yourself. And it's not even just about your weight, just when you make changes and those changes become habits, you know, just endless possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And I think blood work too is a piece that I know you add in with your clients, which is something I have started doing. But just having that also come after even focusing on the mindset is something I've changed because it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I've got all these physical results. I want to focus on those. And it's like, no, like there's still 4 weeks that we have to do before we even look at what your lab said. Because I don't know. I just think, yeah, when we're so physically result focused, which is what I went into all of this in my own journey, that's what I went into it. I didn't care in a sense, didn't really care about what my mindset was doing. Although, you know, my relationship with my body was not super great, which is what led me into under eating, over exercising, tracking calories for 2 years. Right. But now to see the value and we need to focus on what's happening up here before we focus on the body. That's another piece that I think has been really big is like, we're not even thinking about that until week 4. To put some parameters around when we start approaching the physical body.
I think that's fantastic. You are doing amazing work, girl. And I just love it that you figured it out so early on. It just makes my heart so happy because I know that, you know, myself, a lot of my clients, you know, a lot of us haven't figured it out until later in life after we've been through the things and been through the surgeries and the yucky pregnancies and all of the things. So I love your journey. I love what you're doing. You are amazing.
Thank you so much. And same to you. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, you need to go back and listen to the episode we recorded together because you're also doing such cool things with clients and you have just such an educational background that I admire because you just know so much. So it's just a huge benefit that your clients have as well.
Oh, thank you so much. So how can our listeners get in touch with you? Of course, in the show notes, we'll have Bailey's information and her social media, but what's the best way for people to reach out to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So Instagram is probably what I'm the most active on. Nourish with Bailey is what I am on Instagram. Otherwise, email is a great route, but I think, yeah, just message me through DM. If you want to get connected, that's probably going to be the best, most effective route. I'm pretty responsive on there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on today, and we'll chat soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and good luck and congratulations on your pregnancy. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.